janefinch.com.
Hello, this is your host, Greg Fenton, and this is Mediation Station. Each week we explore topics and ideas related to the experience of people with conflict and look to promote the profession of conflict resolvers. We are available to connect with at greggf@primus.ca and 647-227-4734. Visit us at our Facebook page to like us and Facebook group page to become a member. Also visit YouTube channels for both CHHA 1610 AM and Greg Fenton. Listen to podcasts of each radio show by visiting either of SoundCloud.com or iTunes podcast under Mediation Station in the arts topic area. We have a Twitter account, and it is at Fenton Mediation, so follow us. Listen to the other programs here, the non-Spanish language ones, including Monday to Friday, La Bella Italia, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., and also Sunday, right after this program, from 9 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays, A Drink of Water in English, 8 to 9 p.m., or Oresna in English, on Wednesdays, 8 to 9 p.m. Thursdays, Labor News in English, 8 to 9 p.m., and Friday, Mr. B's Bounce in English, 8 to 9 p.m. Our topic tonight is called The Hidden Layer Within the Syrian Conflict, the LGBTQ Humanitarian Crisis, with our visitors, Ziva Gorani, Lydia Sun, and Paul Nguyen. And all three will be with us very shortly. The San Lorenzo Community Mediation Service takes place here at 22 Winterly Drive each Monday. That's in the Dufferin and Lawrence Avenue West area of Toronto, 5 to 7 p.m. The mediation service is open to the public and is available to use for your relationship matters. It's a free and confidential way to help you deal with matters in a relationship, including the family, neighborhood, workplace, or community. We'll work together with you to find better ways to deal with the situation in that relationship. So for more information, you can contact me at either 647-227-4734 or greggf@primus.ca. If you do want to call in, you can do so at 416-785-0680, and we'll connect you to the conversation. You want to contribute to that, we welcome it. So let's talk tonight about the hidden layer within the Syrian conflict, the LGBTQ humanitarian crisis. Again, with us are Ziva Gorani, Lydia Sun, and Paul Nguyen. Welcome to the three of you.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us tonight and for the opportunity to have a conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited to be here.
Okay. As I am too, because this is a special show. We've got a lot of additional stuff going on in this. And it's another way with the additional ways that we're video recording tonight to provide another form, another means to broaden the spectrum of the conversation out there. Because of its critical nature as well. So for the three of you, how about you introduce yourselves and share some brief information as to what you do professionally as a starting point?
I guess I'll go first. Everyone's looking at me. My name is Paul Nguyen, and I grew up here, born and raised in Toronto. Grew up in the Jane Finch area, and my claim to fame was creating a website called janefinch.com. And what that does is we promote the Jane Finch community in a positive manner. And that website has been in operation since 2004, and it's still running today.
Yeah. My name is my name is Ziva Gorani. I'm not born and raised in Canada. I was actually born and raised in Aleppo City in Syria, north of Syria. I do identify with many layers, like such as being Kurdish, being a trans woman, and a queer person. I also can say that I claim fame after being a vocal and outspoken LGBTQ activist and a humanitarian activist, entering the political environment and claiming a space in that environment. And I think that's how my path and Paul's path have crossed each other like 2 years ago, and that's how we produced this beautiful podcast that you've heard about.
Okay, hi everyone, my name is Lydia Sun. Actually, my background, I'm the editor for this podcast. My background, I'm a former TV reporter for crime and justice in China. Currently, I'm working for jimfinch.com website with Paul. And since immigrating to Canada 2008, I have been working with people in social services field, such as immigrants, newcomers, refugees, seniors, also people from LGBTQ community.
And I know that, Ziva, you mentioned briefly about how you connected, but can you give a bigger picture of how the three of you actually came together, and then from that, what formed from that?
Yeah, I'll take that one. So I met Ziva online, and I read about her story, and it was very compelling. And I did some further research, and I was surprised that I felt like this is a story that deserved a bigger forum. So I thought maybe it's a good opportunity to make a podcast about her story and to share her story, and it's a way for myself to learn more about these issues, and to broadcast it and share it with the world and let people know about her story. And with Lydia's son, I knew her for a few years, and we've been friends going back a while now. And I thought this was a great opportunity because she recently joined the as a member of the National Ethnic Press and Media Council of Canada. And I thought it's a great opportunity to be able to work together on a project. So I asked her to come on board, and through her expertise as a former reporter in China, and she was tasked to help us edit this project. So that's how we came together, and we're here now with you.
So how do you mentioned the forum to communicate about the concerns, the backstory that Ziva has experienced and many others are. And why would you use a podcast as a means to do that, Paul?
I thought a podcast would be a more effective way of telling the story because, we can capture the voice. And also during the recording process, people are more at ease and they can be more candid. And, for the viewer, the listener, they can, visualize these things in their head. We're not like directing them with the music or footage and telling them how to feel, how to think. They can get the story from the actual source, from her voice, and they'll have to, kind of imagine, she's taking people on a journey, and they have to visualize in their mind, what is this conflict like? What is this situation? What is this environment like? So, I wanted the audience to have opportunity to also be active part of it and to help create the story in their mind.
And so, Ziva, when you were approached, or Paul mentioned about this, what was your first thought?
Well, I mean, taken aback about, knowing about my story, it has been quite a while that once I say my name in any kind of environment, people start Googling about me, and the little bit about my work that I've done before in Turkey when I started my activism, it surfaces up on the online. And when we met, the conversation was taking more deeper and deeper, and I remember when we met at the cafe, we were such strangers to each other, but after 2 hours in a meeting, we became maybe friends. I felt so connected, especially with Paul's story. His parents came from Vietnam in the 70s, and the similarity in that pain, and even as a second generation in Canada, that you still know about, and you can relate to those layers of being denied a space or denied part of an identity. So I think that's how we came together, this common ground, and that's how we started growing this idea and percolated until we got into the story more and more, and we ended up with the podcast.
And so what happened from the creation of the podcast, Lydia?
Oh, okay. Actually, for the process, I didn't meet Ziva until we got an award from SEMA. So
what's SEMA stand for?
I think it's Canadian Ethnic Media Association.
Association,
right? Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long process. He gave me 2 hours for the audio, and I wanted to pick the most important, more related content to the podcast. But I think everything is very important. From what she was telling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to compress everything to 18 minutes and to make a more digestible meal for the audience to let them know what's the story about.
The poignant things, the things that could really, click a light bulb in some way to people's mindset, because they're using only the verbal. There's no visual with this. And as you mentioned, Paul, people have to use somewhat their imaginations to try to bring a light to the words, the storytelling.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, with the podcast, because, you know, everything that Ziva said was compelling. I mean, but it's very hard to create a two-hour thing. I mean, even 2 hours is not enough. But for this format, you know, I decided that we had to at least, you know, shrink it, that, you know, mainstream audiences who are not really exposed to either the Syrian crisis or the LGBTQ plus crisis, that it's a good starting point. So we package it in a way that's appealing, and, you know, it's like it's short but long enough that, you know, the general public, the person who doesn't have really any background information, it's a good opportunity for them to get their feet wet and to learn about this issue. And hopefully it's, you know, kickstarts their imagination, their curiosity to learn more about these issues.
Yeah, that word curiosity is really important.
No, yeah, I just want to say, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm saying that, you know, like, in my identities, I have, like, multiple layers of identities and all of that. What does that mean? And what I wanted to achieve with Paul is actually, like, broadcast a message and to think beyond what is each label means. And, like, when you add all of those labels and all of those layers together, what can actually come across someone's life?
So the title of the podcast is Survivor, the Ziva Guarani Story.
Yeah.
So for people can access that by...
You could just go on janefinch.com. It should still be in the front page, or you can go into interview sections. You could just Google it. It should show up on the Google.
So how do you see that story connecting to the broader Syrian conflict?
I mean, it has been my... I think it's coming from a lived experience. As a someone who grew up as a trans woman in Syria, the Syrian revolution was nothing but another layer into my life personally. Like, I grew up with deprivation of identity, and I grew up with denial of an existence. So with the Syrian revolution has started, it right away it became only like a selective population of revolution. And for someone who believes in the freedom of the Syrian population in Syria, I was not allowed to be existing in certain spaces because of my LGBTQ or trans identity. So, and I think the moment that I actually decided, you know, it actually was more of like the no turning back point. It was with the beginning of the ISIS executing gay guys in Syria, and how the media has dealt with that, and the way that it's just kind of like a sexy media material thing, which is, you know, most of the cases that's what happens. So for me, I feel like it is my story. It is a lot of people's stories together. And we are being capitalized. You know, our bodies is being capitalized. And it has been my, you know, I feel like it's my responsibility from now on to vocalize it, to speak of the experience, of normalize the conversation and push it forward, this conversation. So why it's important, the Syrian conflict? Because it adds another layer to the conversation. The Syrian revolution is not just one population's problem. It's all the people who are living in Syria, whether if you're Kurdish, if you're an Arab, if you're a Sunni, if you're a Shia, if you're an LGBTQ, if you're not, if you're trans or if you're cis. It's everyone's problem in the Syrian revolution. And we have the right to express ourselves. And I am just an example of a lot of people who are vocal and who wants to be part of this conversation.
And it's important to get the message out.
Yes.
Through your story as a means to get other people's untold stories out.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
We got to take our first break.
Thank you.
And when we come back, we'll have more. Yeah. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA, 1610 AM. Welcome back to the program tonight, Mediation Station. We're talking the hidden layer within the Syrian conflict, the LGBTQ humanitarian crisis, with our three visitors, Ziva, Lydia, and Paul. And if you want to call in, you can do so at 416-785-0680. And Lydia, what could you share about your experience of putting together, like you talked about, how do I find from all that material the points that would help the broader community somewhat better connect to what the purpose is that the podcast was representing, and the unspoken part of that as well.
Okay, I think this podcast gave Ziva a voice, an opportunity to share her story. Also, for me, is a learning opportunity to know. Actually, her powerful story narrative helped me to dive in her world and see what's really happening out there. So before this, to be honest, I didn't really pay attention, much attention to that. Now I get to know more. I think since I'm from a Chinese community, I'm able to bring piece of information to our community to let people know what's out there, to open our mind, to expand our mind. Yeah, so I think it's really powerful and educational. Yeah.
So Ziva, for what do we need to know, like when I say we, the broader community, about the lived experience of the LGBT community within the Syrian territory or space?
I guess your question means we in Canada.
Yes, people who are not from there, of there.
Well, I mean, inside of Canada and even in North America when I was working here, is compassion. When people bring themselves here running away, it's not much of a choice when you're running away for your life. And in so many walks of life and different many experiences, it's the compassion that leads someone to hear someone out and listen to them, actually, and give them the power to decide for themselves. It's more about that, you know, like, let's not talk about lip services from now on. Let's talk about, like, meaningful delivery of human feelings and human connections. A lot of those folks, I mean, we lack human touch. We lack human connection. We lack that feeling that you're equal and you're just like me. We've always been taught we're not good enough. We're less than people. We're like we're living on the sides of the community. And for someone to come and reinforce that conversation by saying that we're either newcomer, we are dysfunctional, disabled, all of those things that actually comes out of anyone who's dealing with an LGBTQ newcomer coming to Canada, and specifically speaking about people who are also adding to that, running from conflict zones. People don't understand that, and just because they don't understand that, they think it's okay to make mistakes all the way, which it could be understandable that it's okay, but as long as you're actually committed to learning and relearning about people's identity. But if you're choosing ignorance over the learning and the openness to learning, that's what I'm trying to change this notion and to change this narrative from, like, you know, like, actually listen to people and open your heart and open your mind to people's experiences. And it takes a journey to learn about someone and to let them learn about you.
I think it takes a purpose for an individual to provide themselves with the space, the openness, to want to hear stories from perspectives and realities that are different from their own.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, like, I mean, I've been living for the last 2 years working with so many individuals from the LGBTQ Syrian community specifically and trans community, and it's almost the same repeating that people don't want to listen. Like, it's about that I have enough things happening in my life, but it's at the end of the day, if you're committed, you got to show that commitment through actions. You know, if you're not committed, it's someone's life responsibility in your hands and in your walk of life, you know? So point is, what I'm trying to say, it takes someone, like you said, it takes someone's to care, to someone to actually see beyond. I'm sorry, I might sometimes sound a little bit, sometimes I get sometimes very emotional or angry about it, but sometimes I say, like, sometimes look beyond your nose to see actually what people's actually happening in their life. Sorry.
Yeah, people have to look with outside of self.
Exactly.
To other.
And I'm just sometimes encouraging people to get out of the bubble. You know, like, when it's so comfortable around you in this bubble, you don't want to hear stories because it makes you uncomfortable. And that's the reality. Life is not comfortable. We live in a first world country where we can go to Walmart or any, like, you know, like, store and just buy whatever we want and overbuy it. Where we actually live in a world, in the same part of the world, like in Yemen, people are suffering to death and I'm getting, you know, it's a world we're living in. And the thing is, whoever is coming to you, share the country with you, share the town with you, share the neighborhood with you, listen to those stories, because they have a lot of layers. No one is just one flat image of a person, you know.
And people have a tendency to stick with what they see.
Yes.
And what's happening on that superficial level.
Exactly.
To be the total reality. When we know there's much more to everybody's reality. There's a backstory.
Exactly.
There's an untold story.
Exactly.
Anything you want to add?
Many of the points that Ziva brought up, she highlighted, really resonated with me. And because I spent many years, advocating for, equal rights, equality.
Yeah.
A lot of the issues that a lot of residents and youth, in particular, black youth face in the Jane Finch community.
Right.
Just being marginalized, outcasted, people look down, you're no good, you're a gang member, you have no potential. So all these things, and that's why it really pushed me to make the website to show, hey, this is not my experience. I mean, a lot of people think this, but Jane Finch ain't like the Wild Wild West. There's a lot of young, talented people, very vibrant, very strong, very outspoken, and they want to fight for their community and they want to make life better for everyone and their families and their friends. So, everything that Ziva said really touched me, and it also, that's why it really provoked me to, help her bring her story to life.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to also add, from the first connections, when I was actually checking Jane and Finch, and that was one of the many reasons of like saying that, oh yes, I'm going to go do that. Because I'm more into this, people who are like committed and community activists in different ways versus actually listening to anyone's propaganda and filtering parts of my identity to fit someone's agenda or propaganda.
Their self-interest. I mean, the idea here is that it's about the broader societal interests.
Yes.
And the untold stories that many of us don't know of and some choose not to know, though we really try here to provoke or agitate
exactly.
to those layers that are unspoken exactly. areas. And everybody's here, coming from a different perspective of cultural and ethnicity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
So each of you is an individual, and you bring your own dynamic of what your upbringing and your lived experiences to this conversation.
I think that's what actually adds a little, a lot of richness to this podcast, and added a lot of that beautiful, touch to it, because we're not just one people working on it. They're just a lot of people who bring a lot of own perspectives.
Multidimensional.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it's a purpose of it. Like you said, multidimensional, because that's the thing at the end of the day, because it's similar to my story, which has a lot of dimensions. That's how it's going to be highlighted and understood to people.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to add something, Lydia?
Oh, I just want to say, I think currently some people develop some negative attitudes towards immigrants or refugees. But I want to say everybody come to Canada from either by choices or chances. We're all Canadian right now, and we wanted to make sure our society is diversity, right? We have to be proud of being Canadian, because here we have multiculturalism. So that's very important to keep in mind of that.
I think in diversity is great, though if people are marginalized within that diverse dimension, it's got to be, for me, inclusivity, where there's an acknowledgement and recognition and an incorporation of the diverse perspectives as well.
Yes.
So we're going to go to a break very soon, but what would you say, what's the experience of the LGBT community as to calling it a humanitarian crisis? Why do you use the term crisis?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. I'm going to just say it. I'm also a humanitarian worker who have worked from 2013 until 2016, and I still am connected to the humanitarian sector. But quickly to answer that, why? In the crisis response sector, when I've been working for 3 years, specifically, we're talking about protection and gender protection. It has always been the focus on women and female house-headed families and all of that. And in many cases, the protection of those marginalized, highly marginalized community and vulnerable and fragile and exposed to every kind of death has never been on anyone's radar in the humanitarian delivery. And while I'm speaking here, and I can acknowledge my privilege and how lucky I am that I actually made it here to the safety. There's a lot of communities back there in Syria, in the surrounding countries of Syria, like in Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan, Iraq, and other like in Egypt. Syrian LGBTQ folks are still in high danger in all of those countries and in Syria as well. And there is no one is actually turning their priorities to include those communities. You know, the only thing that the priority is to get them out of their countries and get them to like Europe or North America with no preparation. And even this, it takes a so long process to be processed in over 2 years in each of those cases. It's, I can imagine how much danger we're putting those people in. And by the time they come into any country, they're already devastated, frustrated. They're already been their dreams being crushed. Every part of them is actually, it's like falling apart. And then we come into them like, why you're not productive? Why you're not, you know, like, why you're not like us? You know, that's what I'm talking about, compassion. You know, like, it's this trauma that, you know, you need to listen to understand and get through. It is a crisis because it's keep happening and no one is taking attention to it. And no one seems to care enough to take that attention to it.
Thank you for your passion with this. Appreciate it. We got to take a break.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM. Welcome back to the program. This is your host, Greg Fenton. And we're here having a conversation on the hidden layer within the Syrian conflict, the LGBTQ humanitarian crisis. And we've got three visitors with us tonight. We have Paul, Lydia, and Ziva. And we're talking about the concerns and the issues related to this. So what do we need to understand about all of this? Is there a way for you to put that in words?
Come again, please.
What do we need to know about all of this? How can you frame it in a message that, you know, there is resistance to hearing the message in the first place, traditionally?
Yeah. Acknowledging, as you said, the different cultures, the nature of how the Canadian societies have integrated with each other. What is my message? I think Paul and Lydia and all of the Jane Finch is like talking about marginalization from an empowering point of view, that the LGBTQ community, whether if they are actually going to say the 2S, two-spirited LGBTQ community, they are an empowered community, and it's a matter of normalizing conversations about marginalization. No, I'm going to say how to say that. Normalizing in a way that opening this conversation. Like, for example, when we're talking about trans Syrian and LGBTQ Syrian, it's kind of seems like the new topic and the hot topic. It's coming up, for example. And with the team, when we're normalizing this conversation, we would provide more exposure to the community. We'll understand those kind of things, and people would not jump into assumptions, not jump into fast judgments of people's ability or inability to keep track of the pace of the integration within the communities, and also keep track of also the folks and how trauma is impacting their life, and how trauma is actually changes someone's path of life. Because it's, if we're talking about here the topic of the LGBTQ Syrian, it's actually, we can go over like to the LGBTQ newcomers. We can talk about the 2S community, two-spirit community. We can talk about many other communities of marginalization that we are witnessing how they're suffering. We are witnessing how what they're going through. Then we're wondering what is happening for them not to be able to engage in, to be productive, to get into the, to have a space and take of that, you know, because you've witnessed and you chose not to do anything. So what is the message that we're trying to do is actually, like you said, I want to say, force people into the uncomfortable, you know. It has never been my way of activism is actually, it's like, you know, to talk about the comfortable, because truth is not comfortable to anyone. Truth is uncomfortable because this is what the world we're living in.
Well, real change, you know, the world that I work in as a professional is where people do go to those vulnerable places, the places they don't feel quite safe. They're not necessarily comfortable. So it's creating a means for people to be uncomfortable in their uncomfortable places somewhat, because that's where the opportunities for growth and change,
exactly,
and true development are happening and can happen.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not just to give your message. Wouldn't it be also that people need to care? Why would anybody listening or anybody want to care about this who's not part of the community itself?
Well, I'm going to, okay, it's not about that, you know, like caring only about the LGBTQ, because if we're talking about, like, you know, if we're talking about many isms and many phobias and many all of those marginalization layers, like, you know, if we're talking about what is the impact of racism to the community, if we're talking about the impact of sexism and the impact of phobias and transphobia, homophobia, biophobia, you know, we can see how we're actually, if we're choosing not to care, we're choosing to the dysfunctionality of the community overall and not the moving the civilization and the humanity forward. You know, there is a lot of things to take into consideration. And there's a lot of things to take into concentration when it comes to talk. Sorry, do you want to jump in, Paul?
Yes. No, I mean, I understand, like, people being, it's not just we're focusing on one group, but there's a lot of people with different issues. And the fact that the going back to being uncomfortable, you know, my website, we don't just paint a pretty picture of Jane and Finch. We do the hard stories sometimes.
Yeah.
There's images of violence. There's images of people suffering. These images need to be shared. They need to be seen.
Why do you feel that's important as part of the messaging?
Because people have to know what's going on the streets. They have to see the reality, and because otherwise you're not going to feel any impact if you just hear about these things. But you have to see these things, and to see people who are going through suffering, who are going through pain or trauma, and to wake the general public up that they have to react and they have to take part and they have to participate and help our society move forward and help people come together. So it's everybody's responsibility to work together and to build this, you know, a great community.
And you know, it is our job to care as human beings. And because if we want to personalize it from this conversation, it's like, you know, if we're talking about LGBTQ folks, it could be every one of your family. You know, if you're talking about war can happen at any time in any place. And we can say that how history can actually, like, you know, like, agree with that. You know, like, so what we've been going through, it could be everyone's experience, you know. Just because we're living in a place that we claim to be safe doesn't mean it's going to be always safe, you know. So just imagine that our existence in humanity is not that, you know, taken, you know, like it's fragile as an existence. So to say that I don't care because it's not my problem, eventually it will become your problem. Whether you see it right now, if you see it only one way or one perspective, it's eventually your problem. You know, it's just because you're not, like, you know, like, it's a chain of action. It's mm-hmm. a chain of action.
There's a connection for all of us, yeah. Regardless of whether it's within our own circles. By extension, it's other yeah. people who may be part of other people's circles that we may engage with at some point.
Yeah.
We never know what the next moment of life will bring us.
Exactly. To be honest, I'm sometimes, as someone who's very radical in my opinions, I always try to shy away because humanity is good, and humanity, because, you know, again, I came from the Middle East. You know, I can prove in so many ways that humanity is not good. You know, like, we've been being bombed for 8 years and no one seems to be caring, you know, like, so, but the thing is, like, eventually humanity is all connected together. You know, the it's not that part of the world is just this, you know, extinguishing. It doesn't mean that it does not impact the well-being of the another part of the world. And the damage of one part of the community does not mean that it's not going to damage the whole community eventually. So I see it all in a one big ball as we live in it's a humanity. We're not separated.
So as a human being, each of you, starting with you, Lydia, mm-hmm. how have each of you been affected by this podcast and the initiative to work together and even being here tonight to try to educate and inform the broader community?
I would say it's been a learning journey for me. I really got a lot of benefit from it. So it helped me to gain a lot of knowledge and a better understanding of refugee crisis, also LGBTQ community. So also it confirmed my feeling and passion of continue doing this. I think it's our responsibility to show people, to let people to listen, to let people to understand, also let people to accept each other, respect each other as human beings. Yes.
Paul?
Yeah, it's important to come together. I mean, we were strangers at one point, and now we're buddies. And I'm looking forward to, you know, hanging out, not just doing podcasts and work and activism, but just being normal people, and maybe in the summertime, go hit up the drive-in movie theater. Like, you know, it's great to have friends of different backgrounds, different cultures. I mean, growing up in Jane Finch, you know, my next-door neighbor was a black kid who eventually became my best friend. And, you know, I learned a lot, you know, Indian best friend, black best friend, Asian. I mean, not all Asians are the same, but some people might, from afar, might think we're all the same. But as a Vietnamese and a Korean and a Chinese, they all have different experiences. So for me, this is a great opportunity to learn more about, like, you know, Syrian people, the crisis over there, also, the LGBT crisis, yeah. And to meet Ziva and her own unique experience is, you know, a great learning experience for me. You know, great to make a new friend with a different perspective, and I just feel very privileged and very happy to be in that position to, you know, help bring people together and share the stories.
Ziva, for yourself.
Well, we're talking personally, so like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna say maybe also for me personally, it has been a very much of a learning experience in working with Paul. And for years, and then meeting Lydia, and I was just telling that Lydia seems to be more about me more than I know about her. She edited like 3 hours of my voice, so she knows a lot of part of my story, which makes me feel like right away we're connected in that way. Mm-hmm. But as someone who has been here for 2 years, and to connect this deeply with such amazing folks at Jane Finch, and to get a voice and to get a platform to speak and to raise issues and push conversations, it is. I mean, I can't put a measure on it, but you know, like it's very endearing for me, and it's very encouraging for me every day in and day out, and it gives me a meaning and a sense of accomplishment and a motivation to keep doing the work that I'm doing.
Right, it's only a step.
Yes.
This is not the end.
Exactly.
really a starting point.
Exactly. I do have a very, very long journey ahead of me. I made my calculations. Doesn't seem to be going to end anytime soon.
You know, with life, though, it's unpredictable.
Exactly.
The next moment
exactly.
will be whatever, and then you yeah. have to connect with that and find how you can reframe that to yeah. be meaningful
yeah.
for your values, your ideals, and your purpose as you define it.
Mm-hmm.
And each of you define it. So we got to take a break and we'll come back. You're listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM. Welcome back to the radio program tonight, The Hidden Layer Within the Syrian Conflict, the LGBTQ plus humanitarian crisis with Ziva, Lydia, and Paul. So what are you looking to see happen from our conversation tonight? What do you ideally, in a tangible way?
I guess I can start. As a part of my message, it's accessing communities and accessing everyone's home and have a conversation. You know, like I always say, like, you know, it's a conversation or a dialogue and learn and unlearn and relearn. That's my message, and that's my dedication that I do personally to myself, and I'm inviting everyone to do. So, again, as the radio station here and being able to access the Latino community and the Hispanic and the community, it's a very big step for me personally and for my message in the world. You know, I'm hoping that I'll be having broader conversation and as I said, this is a step forward in my career and a step forward in my message and in my dedication.
Yeah, in places and spaces
exactly.
that currently have not, or you felt may not have existed as opportunities
exactly. yeah.
to then intersect with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what I'm hoping for this conversation is for, you know, the general public and people who are not familiar with these issues to learn more, to engage more. I mean, even reach out to, you know, Ziva or, you know, similar people who may have more experience and knowledge and help educate people. Also, I want to shout out to all, you know, the young people in Jane and Finch and, you know, as a youth growing up there, that, you know, we can go beyond ourselves and not just tackle the issues that are near and dear to us, that there are other issues outside of the community, a lot of things going on that we need to learn about, that we need to know about, and that we should tackle on these issues. And it helps you become a better person, helps you grow, self-growth, self-improvement, and we have to always continue to strive for that, to understand each other, and that's the only way where we can have like a, you know, a great society where we can all get along and have a bright future together.
Right. Regardless of the lived realities that are going to always exist in some form.
Everybody has a different experience. You know, yeah. Even as a Vietnamese person, second generation, growing up, having a typical Canadian, you know, childhood, playing street hockey, going tobogganing in the winter. But, yeah. You know, my parents, I mean, I just recently started, you know, have deeper conversations with my father and mother and understanding the issues that they face, you know, being boat people and leaving Vietnam and escaping the war and, you know, the journey on the seas and integrating into Canadian society. That's a whole other story that I have to look at and continue to look at deeper and to understand them better. So, I mean, it's our parents, it's our siblings, it's our friends, it's our new friends, it's everybody that we have to get to know and we have to learn their stories.
And that provides a basis, though, as a foundation of how you identify in some way and you've developed yourself.
Yeah, it's the only way to get along is to understand each other.
And Lydia, in terms of, you know, what we're talking about and, you know, what do you see as the next steps for this or next plan or plans? Have there been any conversations from any of you?
I think from today's conversation for us, the next step, we're going to continue doing more, to tell more stories from different culture, different people, background. I think by listening, you can understand more, and you will realize there are a lot of different ways to help, to get rid of different, let's say, discrimination or prejudice, misconception of for other people. Yeah.
Ziva, have you had any thoughts about concrete things that you really would like to do to evolve this?
I think there has not been a day that I'm not doing something. Not that I'm actually, sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional, but it's the reality of my life. But I'm definitely getting now into a deeper conversation and into the political conversation. It is what I'm going to say. At this point of my life, I acknowledge that I might not be making big changes. I do have to wear many hats in life because coming from a privilege of having the ability to speak in a way that is actually deliverable to the general population, mm-hmm. and having certain privileges that comes with that, coming with my cis-passing privilege, which means, like, you know, the word cis-passing when you're actually walking the street and people not knowing if you're trans or not. And with other things that comes with those kind of privileges, it facilitates conversations, it eases conversations to happen. So now I find myself wearing so many hats. Not that I'm actually, sometimes I'm choosing those hats, but because it's a responsibility I have to do. Because I'm initiating this conversation in a region that have never been spoken about those kind of rights in the West in that way. It's a very recent conversation. And I'm hoping and I'm inviting more trans activists to engage in this conversation, to open. And I know how tiring and how exhausting to be tokenized, to be capitalized, to be asked to speak on platforms and to be used as an identity and as a label. But I also say, maybe choose your battles, maybe go forward and believe that whatever minor, small thing that you're doing, you're helping others back at home to have a better life in the future.
So how can people learn more and, if they want, get involved in some way?
I'm going to say from a personal perspective, let's say. As I said, that in my story that I have two sort of privileges that comes with life. And some of them are genetic. I didn't have any control of it. Some of them are, I made choices with life to continue my education, to enter certain circles, to be in certain places that came with a lot of compromise. I've compromised a lot of parts of my identity. I've compromised with death and with abuse and all of those to gain certain privileges at the end of it. You know, but at the end of the day, do not assume that every trans-Syrian person is Ziva. You know, Ziva is only one person that is able to speak to you. But a lot of the folks that actually, for example, trans women who are coming from Syria, you might not be able actually to even have a conversation with them. Not because they don't have the language. Maybe it is a case that maybe they don't have the English skills. Maybe even if they do have the English skills, you don't know, you don't belong to their walls. You don't belong into their circles and they don't belong to yours. They do have a different way of how to look at things and how do you want to carry their lives with. And you don't have to push them through always. And I've been always felt like, you know, let's say that in one story that a certain trans woman was like, you know, randomly was compared to me as like, you know, why you couldn't be like Ziva? And it's just very personal story. And it was actually a social worker who was actually saying that. And I was like, that's it. Just resembles the unfairness in this thing. You can compare people to each other and ask them to be something that they're not and change part of their reward. You know, I've spent my life trying to fit people's, you know, like, you know, perspective, trying to please what they can do. And I'm actually changing this actually in life. And I'm inviting people to exist in their whole selves. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do. Like, you know, like what they can learn. They can learn that people come with so many different shapes.
So is there a way that people can reach out and somewhat, if you want to have those conversations with them?
There's a lot of platforms. There's a lot of, like, you know, official platforms you can go and, like, you know, learn. Before, for example, you could ask about trans person about so many uncomfortable conversations with them.
Can you give me something Google more it. Specific? Because we got to close very soon. And yeah, I want to give something.
Yeah, there is, like, you know, if you're going to talk about, like, you know, there is OCASI, there is 519, there is Sherbourne Hall Center. This is all in downtown. There's a lot of many platforms. If you go on appeal, there is a lot of organization, which I am part of actually facilitating this conversation, is the 2SLGBTQ+ Collaborative in Peel Region, Brampton, Mississauga. There's many organizations that are actually incorporating to having this conversation. But also on the very, very, like, you know, grassroots level, you know, it takes that dedication. It's not the it's not the English that you're lacking. It's the willingness to have the conversation you might be lacking, maybe, or, like, you know, the, you know, like, open a book, Google it, you know, like, learn about someone's body. You know, like, you don't have to ask me if I had surgeries or not. Go Google it, what a surgery is. You don't have to ask me all of those invasive questions to learn about as if I am your walking dictionary, you know? So that's what I'm saying is, like, sometimes it takes proactiveness. Let's, like, it's not the interactiveness. It's a proactiveness into learning about people's experiences. And here we're talking about LGBTQ issues. But if you're talking about any other issues, it does make sense. You know, if you're talking about, like, you know, now in 2018, which still we're facing racism issues. Sorry, it's like we're still facing racism issues, but it's still in the same time, people are able to relate to racism, but in a way that they cannot relate to transphobia, for example. Why? Because people actually started to be proactive about this.
I know we could go on and
sorry.
On. Sorry. Don't apologize, please. You know, obviously, this resonates so deeply for you, as it should, because it's your lived experience, and we want to help to provide a means to the broader community to know. So yeah. Thank you for opening yourself up for this. Thank you, each Paul and Lydia, for contributing to helping the opportunity for Lydia.
Thanks for always. Yeah. For thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so thank much for having us.
Ziva. So that's it for tonight. Thanks for sharing. Been listening to Mediation Station on CHHA 1610 AM.